Welcome to ID the Future. On this episode, Ray Bolin interviews computer scientist Winston Ewart. Ewart, along with William Dembski and Robert Marx, authored Introduction to Evolutionary Informatics, just released. This book discusses information theory, computer simulations, and design for the non-scientist. Buy it today at Amazon.com. Again, that's Introduction to Evolutionary Informatics by Ewart, Dembski, and Marx.
Well, this is Ray Bolin, your host today on ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design. Today I have with me Dr. Winston Ewart to talk about the use of computer simulations to demonstrate the workability of Darwinian evolution. And Dr. Ewart earned his PhD in computer engineering at Baylor University. He worked with Dr. Robert Marx as a research assistant. He's a senior researcher of that evolutionary informatics lab and a senior research scientist at the Biologic Institute. He currently primarily works as a software engineer in Vancouver, BC area. He's published various papers involving computer simulations of evolution and specified complexity, and he's a contributor to Evolution News and Views and is returning to ID the Future for one more time. So welcome, Winston.
Good to be back.
Well, I think we want to explore today a certain kind of computer simulation. But first of all, and I think that's involving it as things, you know, sort of a digital Cambrian explosion. But before we get there, does Darwinism actually make predictions that could be falsified by these computer simulations?
For the most part, no. So you can easily devise a evolutionary simulation that works and another one that doesn't work. And so in order to make predictions, your theory has to say which kind of simulations work and which kind of simulations don't work. And so intelligent design says, well, the difference is some of them are teleologically fine-tuned and some aren't. But Darwinism doesn't make such a clear-cut prediction. It doesn't say that evolution always works, because if it did, well, it would be falsified a million times over. But it doesn't provide any sort of clear criteria for when we expect evolution to work and when it doesn't work. Its prediction seems to be, well, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. And as such, it's really not providing any prediction. And this is important because if Darwinism isn't really making predictions about computer simulations, no evidence from a computer simulation can really provide support for Darwinian evolution. Because in order to get support from a prediction, you actually have to provide predictions, and it doesn't. And so no simulation can falsify Darwinism, really, but also no simulation really supports evolution. Now, there was a time, arguably, when the digital Cambrian explosion was seen as a prediction of Darwinian evolution. But that really is no longer the case.
Okay, now you've used this phrase of artificial life. So what do you mean by that?
So one of the simulations that we've discussed previously have very specific targets. They have very specific ideas of what they want to do, whether it's an antenna, a robot, or a car. They've got some very specific problem they're trying to solve. The artificial life simulations sort of go in the opposite direction and say, well, we don't want to pick specifically what we want evolution to produce. We want to just create a virtual world and unleash evolution and see what evolves. And that's sort of the idea, is you have some sort of artificial world that we're just observing evolution. And that's the idea behind artificial life.
Well, that sounds pretty good. I mean, we've used this, both of us have used this phrase of a digital Cambrian explosion. So what do you mean by that?
So the actual Cambrian explosion was a period in the fossil record where there's a sudden, relatively speaking, increase in the diversity of life. So in a geologically short period of time, we go from having very little life forms to having a lot of different kind of life forms. And this gave rise to what Darwin described as one of the major objections to what could be raised against this theory, and it gives the title of the book to Stephen Meyer's Darwin's Doubt. Now, since Stephen Meyer's book, there's been some propensity to try and minimize the significance of the Cambrian explosion in biology. But artificial life, this isn't the case, because they've actually deliberately been trying to produce a digital Cambrian explosion. The idea being that life at some point in time kicked into high gear for its evolution to produce the wide variety of life forms we have today. And if they could reproduce that in a computer simulation, that would be really neat. So the stated goal of the various artificial life experiments was to produce this digital Cambrian explosion.
Well, if they were to actually, in their opinion, to succeed at that, what would be the implications of such an event for intelligent design?
Well, the presence of a digital Cambrian explosion would falsify intelligent design's claims about biology, because it would demonstrate the capacity of Darwinian evolution to produce a wide variety of different designs without requiring all this fine-tuning that had to be present. And if this were true, then it would demonstrate actually Darwinists are correct, and you'd have a very hard time maintaining the claims of intelligent design.
But couldn't you still argue that even if there were a Cambrian explosion or a digital one, the simulations would still be teleologically fine-tuned?
Yeah, any of the simulations, if you look into the details, they have this sort of fine-tuning going on. So you could still hold to an intelligent design that tells the fine-tuning universe and the origin of life and up to the Cambrian explosion. But after that point, you really couldn't claim that Darwinian evolution wasn't sufficient to take it from there. And so you have to hold to some sort of limited form of intelligent design.
So have they succeeded, though, in producing a digital Cambrian explosion?
So no, and that's not just my opinion. That's the assessment of the people who work in the field. So one of the early pioneers is named Thomas Ray, and he developed a few different variations of his simulation, but he eventually concluded this doesn't work, and he failed, and he left the field to work on other things. There was another project called Golem at Home, and it recruited anyone. You could run the program on your computer to contribute to this massive computer simulation. And after a while, they stopped the experiment, and they said, after accumulating several million CPU hours on this project and reviewing many evolved creatures, we've concluded that merely more CPU, that is, computer processing time, is not sufficient to evolve complexity. The evolutionary processes appear to be hitting a complexity barrier that is not traversable using direct mutation selection processes due to the exponential nature of the problem. So in another case, there was an individual who started a project to run an artificial life system for an entire year. Now, that should actually itself be interesting because it suggests that up to this point, no one had been watching a simulation for a year, suggesting that not that much interesting is happening. And so his theory was, if he ran it for a whole year, he said that my hope is that after 1 year, there will exist amazing creatures that stalk, hunt, evade other creatures. But what happened was that he restarted it 6 times, trying to get interesting stuff to happen, and then eventually gave up on it. And there's a 2014 paper entitled Identifying Necessary Conditions for Open-Ended Evolution Through the Artificial Life World of Chromaria said, you know, a major goal of artificial life research remains to observe open-ended evolution in an A-life simulation. In fact, there is little doubt that no algorithm yet devised has fully reproduced it. And so the conclusion from across the board on these people is, no, we didn't get the digital Cambrian explosion. We didn't get the open-ended evolution we're looking for.
Now, I really like the phrase from that first quote you used of hitting a complexity barrier, and that's exactly the kind of thing we've been speaking about in biology for quite some time. And what I find curious here is that the scientific community rarely likes to admit that negative data is significant. You usually can't get negative data published, but in this case, these failures should be widely described, don't you think?
So in general, of course, you know, negative data is hard to publish, but the artificial life community is a bit of an exception, and they widely discuss the failure. They've got papers, and they've got panels and discussions all trying to get at the bottom of the question of why didn't they get the digital Cambrian explosion they're expecting. So their failures are actually fairly well documented as compared to many other fields. And we might argue that these failures ought to be casting doubt on Darwinian evolution. But for the researchers, they conclude, well, no, there's something missing. There's something missing from our simulation that we need to add in order to make it work, that would provide that spark they need for a missing Cambrian explosion.
Yeah, I find that very true in biological evolution as well, that, okay, we didn't figure this one out, but we will, basically because we know what happened. But in this case, why do you think that these digital Cambrian explosions fail? What's really missing?
Well, that's, of course, the million-dollar question, sort of the mystery of the missing digital Cambrian explosion. And if we look again at that Identifying Necessary Conditions paper, they said, what aside from eons of time, which is likely not the sole ingredient missing from artificial world so far, could ignite the fire of an open-ended complexity explosion? But if you consider even the title of the paper, it says Identifying Necessary Conditions. They aren't even claiming to attempt to identify the sufficient conditions. All they're claiming is the necessary conditions. So they can identify things that prevent it from happening, but they don't know the things that would actually make it happen. So the consensus amongst these artificial life researchers is that they don't know what's missing. Something is missing, Some people have ideas, but, you know, of course, ideas are a dime a dozen. Something is missing from all of the different artificial life simulations that prevents them producing the capering explosion that they were expecting.
Well, I'm going to guess here that you have a suggestion of what's missing.
So, as an intelligent design proponent, there's a pretty obvious answer to that question. What's missing? Design, intelligence, or information. So if intelligent design proponents are right about what we say about naturalistic processes and Darwinian evolution, that they can't produce this sorts of thing, that the only way to get this is intelligence, information, and mind, it's hardly surprising that this hasn't worked. It's exactly what we would expect it. What we'd say is, you can't do this without information. You can't do this without intelligence providing the raw material for this, and no materialist process is ever going to substitute for that.
Well, are there any examples out there where they intentionally tried to use intelligence to produce this digital Cambrian explosion?
Not intentionally, but there is actually an example of this in the genre of programming fighting games. And in all these games, what you do is you have a program that controls, you know, it's either just a program or it might control a virtual tank or any number of things. And they fight other programs, and you try to, you know, develop the program which is better at killing off the other programs. And sort of one of the earliest examples was called Darwin from 1961. And further examples include Core Wars more recently, and Darwin Bots, Robocode, and Growbots. And all these different programming games exist, and they've got large communities involving lots of programmers trying to figure out how to write code to kill the other programs. What we find, if we actually look at all of these, is that there's a massive explosion of different strategies that people use in these different programs. And you can go and they've actually go through it, and people have classified the different strategies people used, and people talk about the strategies, and you can read lots of documentation on the different strategies people have used. And so we have all of these different strategies with different pros and cons, which seems a lot like the diversity we find in life. And so it seems actually we do have that Cambrian explosion. These different strategies in these programming games, you know, even some of them named after the idea of Darwin, but what actually you find is it's the intelligence in these simulations producing a wide variety of different strategies that produces something that looks like a Cambrian explosion. So we have a Cambrian explosion, but it wasn't produced by Darwin and evolution. It was produced by design.
Absolutely. Fascinating conversation. I know the whole idea of these computer simulations tends to go beyond what a lot of us can really think our way through. So I appreciate your conversation here today about these digital Cambrian explosions, and essentially they recognize themselves that they're not working. So I want to thank you again, Winston, for being with us today. And let me just remind everyone, this is Ray Bolin with ID the Future. Thanks for being with us.
Want to learn more? Read Introduction to Evolutionary Informatics by Ewart, Dembski, and Marx, available now on Amazon.com. Again, that's Introduction to Evolutionary Informatics. Thank you for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute. For more information, visit intelligentdesign.org and idthefuture.com.